This is Roy Beard with Covenant Life Ministries. I'm glad to have you with us tonight. I hope that during our time together, that the Holy Spirit will inspire our hearts to seek the face of God in a more powerful way. It's my desire to encourage you to allow the atmosphere of heaven and the culture of the kingdom become a reality in your life. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to get it. Open it up to Matthew chapter 5. Begin reading at verse 14 through verse 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would reach down your holy hand and by the mighty power of the Spirit of Almighty God, that you would give us the anointing, give us the insight, give us the wisdom, give us the move and touch of your Spirit, that we would grasp and receive everything that you want to dispense to us in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to talk about tonight is if we are the light of the world, what do they see when they look at us? See, that's a question that I heard in my spirit when I was praying a number of years ago. And when we began to think about this particular statement of our Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world, then I asked, what comes to mind? What comes to your mind? For me, it's arresting and it's staggering and it's awesome. It imposes upon my heart and my mind a reality that's inescapable. We are being watched. I'm not talking about Big Brother watching us, but I'm talking about we are being watched and we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, hear me. It's imperative. It's not optional. It's not maybe. It's imperative that you and I manifest Him, manifest His character, manifest His heart, manifest His love, and that we become sources of light that draws to Him and points to Him. John said he has to increase, but I have to decrease. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. We're the light of the world. Here in our text, Matthew 5, 14, 15, and 16, we're told that we are the light of the world and that a city that is set on a hill can't be hidden and a lamp can't be hidden under a bushel. Our light. We are light. We have Jesus in us, and that light is to shine to all people everywhere. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we have an incredibly powerful and revealing declaration. Peter says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but you're a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. You once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we've been called out of darkness into God's light, and as a result, we're to manifest the light. Philippians 2:14, 15, and 16 gives us another reminder of how we're to live and the image that we should be projecting to both those in the church and those in the world. It tells us that we are to be lights shining into this present world. Then in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, we're reminded of our relationship in life, that light and darkness are not compatible, and we're light. Isaiah 49 and 6, God told his people that they are lights to shine forth and reveal the pathway of salvation to the entire earth. Then in Acts 13:47, that passage is quoted as a reminder to the New Testament believers that we are to be the lights of the world. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, there is the open and clear declaration that we, believers, the children of God, are children of light, children of the day, and we're not of the night and not of darkness. Now, that's what God says. See, God is light. God is a God of light. And when we go back to Genesis, we find that God creates light, and God creates light because he is light. Isaiah declared that the coming of the Messiah would be a light for the world, for people that had been walking in darkness would then see a marvelous light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And in Psalms 119:105, it said, your word, Lord, is a lamp to guide me and a path for, it gives light for my feet, for my path and my feet. If we're lights to the world, we are those who are to reveal the pathway of God and illuminate the darkness and expose the pitfalls and the snares of the devil. And 1 John 2:8, 9, and 10 reminds us that that if we say we're in the light, if we say we're saved, if we say we're believers, if we say we're Christian, but yet we hate and exhibit hate, we're in darkness. But if we exhibit love, then we're demonstrating light, and the world needs us to be light. Years ago, somebody said to me, Roy, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. They also said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to convict you? Now, both of those questions drove home the point of this particular passage. I am to be the light of the world. And if I am the light of the world, what are those looking at my light seeing? If we are the light of the world, that suggests that something is emanating from us. And that light, the light that shines forth from us and through us, has to be the light that points to God. Now, some may never read the Bible, and so therefore we'll be the only source of their perception of God and of Christianity. We're light, but what kind of light are we? We do have a testimony, and we give a testimony, and we exhibit a testimony, but what kind of testimony? And if we're the light of the world, how much light do we give off, and how much light do we have? So let me ask this question. What is the purpose of light? What's the purpose of light? Well, one of the purposes of light is that it penetrates the darkness and it illuminates. Light is to reveal what's hidden. Light gives comfort and hope for traversing the path that we are seeking to trod. It's light for the journey. We should understand that without God, man's lost, man's hopeless, man is without light, he's in darkness. He lives in spiritual darkness until the light of God comes in and reveals the truth of God to his heart and sets him free and shows him the better way. No, shows him the only way to life, Jesus Christ. And another reality of light is that those of us who have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior have been led by the light of His Word into spiritual freedom. So we are possessors of light. We are literally God's flashlights. We're to shine into the darkness of this world. We're to reveal Him to the lost. We're to reveal Him to the saved. We have the hope of salvation, and the light of God in us reveals God, and in Him there's life. See, our lives should, our lives must, absolutely must point to and manifest the true light, Jesus, so that people can come to true freedom and salvation. Light's to be a signal or a warning of danger and safety, and our lives could truly be compared to the little lights in God's lighthouse, warning of danger and demonstrating the safety that's in Him. We're not to be guides of blindness, but guides of light. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And He said, I'm the light of the world. Now, here's what He tells us that His light in us makes us expressions of His lighthouse. So again, what light do they see when they look at you and they look at me? Let me offer raise three pertinent questions. Can the lost see God in our daily actions, in our interaction? Do they see God in what we say? Do they see God in our life? And number two, is Jesus manifest in our life? Is Jesus manifest in our relationships? Is Jesus manifest in our words, in our business dealings, in our interpersonal relationship? Number three, is Jesus projected by my attitudes? Is He seen in my convictions? Is He the center of my life view and my worldview? See, if we're the light of the world, how much light do we have? And I believe that if we understand the purpose of light, then it's important that once we've understood the purpose of light, we have to move to another reality, is that if we're the light of the world, then our lives should reveal Jesus clearly. Now, I suggest that's not possible without daily and regular communion with Him in prayer and meditation and studying of the Word of God. If we don't spend time with God, we will never present God clearly. We can't know somebody. I don't care who it is. You can't know anybody until you spend time with them. You can't read about them and find out who they are. I believe that for us to know the heart and to know the mind of God, it's imperative that we spend time with Him. We do that by prayer. We do that by studying the Word. We do that by meditating upon the Word. And then when we meditate upon what we've read, and we meditate upon what we've prayed, and we allow the Holy Spirit to communicate God's heart to our heart, then we become light. You can't give what you don't have. And you can't be light if you don't have light within. And secondly, I suggest that unless our daily activities are in harmony with His Word, then we're going to convey an image of God that's contradictory to the Bible and contrary to the revealed person and character of Jesus. When people interact with us, when people observe our lives, our light, do they see evidence of a genuine new creation, or do they see an imitation? In 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17, it said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. All things are become new. Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, said, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you're going to have to look a lot more redeemed. Now, that statement and that challenge should be taken to heart by everybody that follows Christ. Do we give evidence of our redemption that people can see? Do they see the living Savior in our lives, or do they simply see a set of doctrinal or sectarian rules and regulations? Does the life and the love of Jesus emanate from us? and capture their hearts and capture their attention. You see, if we live as the Pharisees, if we live as sectarians, if we live as isolationists, we'll be repulsive to those in darkness. But if the life and the love of God emanates from us and our actions, our words, our deeds, and our lives, we'll be like honey to flies and flames to moths. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. You see, if we're the light of the world, how much darkness are we dispelling? Our testimony should, no, it must, have its core and its foundation, Him. It has to be at its core. It has to have our foundation, has to be in Him. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, that our prime responsibility and our prime objective was to seek God first and foremost. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we're told that the express purpose of Jesus, His coming, His express purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. In that is salvation. Jesus said, Jesus told us, that the works that He did, we could do, and greater works than those would we do because He is going to the Father. Well, He has. And so now the question is, are we doing what He did? Are we doing greater works? How much light are we giving to the world? If you and I acknowledge Jesus, acknowledge God as supreme above all things, and if we, through the effort of the Holy Spirit, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, then we can project the light of God's love so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Our lives should be rooted and grounded in God's Word, and our interaction should be saturated with love. The love, the Bible tells us, covers a multitude of sin. See, the profession of our faith has to be able to withstand the examination of our lives. Now, I want you to hear that. The profession of our faith has to be able to stand the examination of our life. Our walk and our talk has to be consistent. So once again, I ask, if we're the light of the world, how much light do they see? Now, I would contend that until we remember that we are the light of the world, and what people see in us is a reflection upon our Lord Jesus, and it's a reflection upon our God, we will never be as committed to His purposes and the life that we're to live as we have to be. Now, let's rehearse this just a little bit. We've considered the matter of being, we're the light of the world. We've talked about the purpose of light and the reality that our daily lives must be rooted and grounded in God's Word. Now, we've also considered the need for our testimony to have its foundation, its base, and being rooted in Jesus and the Bible. But I want to take one more step into this subject, and hopefully that'll bring it all together so that you and I can be even more inspired than we are now to be the light of the world. Our loyalties should be firmly fixed in Jesus. Our loyalties must be firmly fixed in God. He has to be our supreme commitment. The Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in everything. Now, it's my conviction that the will of God is the most important thing that we can know and pursue in this life. Now, I don't believe the will of God is mysterious. I don't believe it's complicated. I don't believe that God's hiding His will from us. I've had people tell me for years, well, I'm just trying to find the will of God. No, you're trying to find what you think is the will of God, and you're trying to have something mysterious, and God is not mysterious at all. He doesn't want it to be complicated. If he has a purpose for you, would you hide something? If you had a plan, had a purpose, had a desire for your own kids or your employees, would you hide it from them and tell them, I have something I want you to do, but I'm not going to tell you what it is, and you're going to have to search for it and hunt for it, but if you don't, I'm going to be unhappy with you? No, that wouldn't make any sense. See, it's my conviction that God wants us to know his will for our lives and places desires and interests and gifts and talents and abilities in our hearts and in our lives that reveal to us the purposes of God. I believe that in God's will, a person finds fulfillment and contentment like nothing else. If you hate what you do, you're probably not pursuing the purposes of God for your life. You're probably not in the will of God. Now, God's will should always be superimposed over our will. Jesus said in the garden, Father, not as I will, but your will be done. See, God's purpose is more important than our personal or our selfish desires, goals, dreams, or ambition. We're to be faithful to God in times of plenty. We're to be faithful to God in times of lack. We're to be faithful in times of ease and faithful in times of turmoil and trouble. We're to be faithful in victory and faithful in defeat. We express to others our true feelings and our view of God through our faithfulness or our unfaithfulness. See, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. He didn't say, maybe you're going to become the light of the world. That's not what he said. He said, you are the light of the world. You are emanating some kind of image, and you are giving off a projection to those around you, but the question is, what are you projecting? What kind of light are you? What kind of light am I? What kind of light does God want us to be, and what kind of light are we being? Now, let me tie it all together, what we've been saying, in a way that hopefully will encourage you. Dare, and hear me, dare to step out of the traditional mold and seek him first and foremost. Don't just do it because you've always done it that way. Don't just get tied into tradition for the sake of tradition. Now, I believe in tradition. But don't just do that. Become willing to be light. Let the Holy Spirit cause you to realize who you can be, who God sees you, who God wants you to be, and understand that you are vessels to receive the love and the energy and the power and the grace and the strength of God, and from you emanates what is in you, so have in you what God says. Let his light shine through you and become willing to risk standing on the promises of God. Oh, too many times we're not willing to take a risk. But in God, see, I'm betting my entire eternity on Jesus. I am standing out. If I fail, I fail in him. If I fail, I fail in him. It won't be because I didn't try. It won't be because I didn't step out on what he declared. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life into a radiant light that penetrates the darkness and points to the cross. So I pray that each one of us will begin to allow the Holy Spirit to enable us to become people whose lives, whose love, whose loyalty, whose labor and testimony produces the light that's needed to point others to Jesus. And I pray that we'll allow the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to produce in us a life that bubbles up and flows out and overflows, that expresses a total commitment to God. May we never be self-willed. May we never be self-centered, but may we always be totally devoted to our Lord. As a believer and as a Christian, we are the light of the world. Not maybe, we are. We're the light, the only light some people see. Our lives are to be filled with the light of God, pointing the way to His love, pointing the way to His mercy, pointing the way to His grace. So when others see us, the penetrating question has to be, what do they see? Where would our light lead them if they followed us? Where would our light take them if they followed our light? May the Lord God of heaven help each one of us to seek to be lights of love, lights of His life shining into this darkened world. See, God says that we have something, and the devil says, God says we are, and the devil says, no, you're not. So the question is, who do you believe? That's the basic, simple question. God says you are the light of the world. The devil said, but look at all of your flaws and your hang-ups and your misgivings. Look at all of your past sin. So who do you believe? See, very often we don't feel like the light of the world. Very often we don't look like the light of the world. And too often we don't act like the light of the world. But God says we are. So it's imperative that we do a number of things in order to come to the fullness that He has for us. What are those things? Well, number one is repent. But, Lord, I hadn't really done anything. Well, that maybe you need to repent of not doing anything. Repent. Repent of not being all He wants you to be. Repent of not being a light shining in darkness. Repent of being a dim light, not a bright light. And then, once you've repented, request that He make you what He has declared you to be, a light that penetrates the darkness, an example that leads to Jesus, a demonstration of His love, His mercy, His grace, His person, His character, and His power. Be a light. Peter and John, when they came to the Gate Beautiful, it wasn't just that they brought about healing for a man, but they were demonstrating light. They dared to step out on the promises of God. And they had requested that God make them lights to the shining into the darkness. And then once you've repented and once you've asked God to do it, then receive it. Start living your testimony that I am the light of the world. I am. Not I'm going to be, not I hope I will be, not I think I will be, not maybe I will be, but I am the light of the world. And begin to live your life like you are what God says you are. Father, help us. Help us repent. Help us request, help us receive, and help us begin to live the life that You have called us to live. Let us walk in the fullness of Your purposes. I ask that in the divine and everlasting name of Jesus. Watch over us, guard us, and guide us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you. I'll be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.